And you can't just kill them because you feel a little nervous now.
I'm not a little nervous, Gennaro said. I'm scared shit.
Follow me,
Grant said. Ellie handed him a shock stick. He pushed backward through the hole and grunted, tight fit. Grant exhaled and extended his arms forward in front of him, and there was a kind of whoosh, and he was gone. The hole gaped, empty and black.
What happened to him? Gennaro said, alarmed.
Ellie stepped forward and leaned close to the hole, listening at the opening. She clicked the radio, said softly,
Alan?
There was a long silence. Then they heard, faintly,
I'm here. Is everything all right, Alan?
Another long silence. When Grant finally spoke, his voice sounded distinctly odd, almost awestruck.
Everything's fine, he said.
Almost Paradigm. In the lodge, John Hammond paced back and forth in Malcolm's room. Hammond was impatient and uncomfortable. Since marshaling the effort for his last outburst, Malcolm had slipped into a coma, and now it appeared to Hammond that he might actually die. Of course, a helicopter had been sent for, but God knows when it would arrive. The thought that Malcolm might die in the meantime filled Hammond with anxiety and dread. And paradoxically, Hammond found it all much worse because he disliked the mathematician so much. It was worse than if the man were his friend. Hammond felt that Malcolm's death, should it occur, would be the final rebuke, and that was more than Hammond could bear. In any case, the smell in the room was quite ghastly, the rotten decay of human flesh.
Everything hurt,
Malcolm said, tossing on the pillow.
Is he waking up? Hammond said.
Harding shook his head.
What did he say? Something about paradise?
I didn't catch it, Harding said. Hammond paced some more. He pushed the window wider, trying to get some fresh air. Finally, when he couldn't stand it, he said,
Is there any problem about going outside?
I don't think so. No, Harding said.
I think this area is all right. Well, look. I'm going outside for a bit.
All right, Harding said. He adjusted the flow on the intravenous antibiotics.
I'll be back soon.
All right. Hammond left, stepping out into the daylight, wondering why he had bothered to justify himself to Harding. After all, the man was his employee. Hammond had no need to explain himself. He went through the gates of the fence, looking around the park. It was late afternoon, the time when the blowing mist was thinned and the sun sometimes came out. The sun was out now, and Hammond took it as an omen. Say what they would, he knew that his park had promise, and even if that impetuous fool Gennaro decided to burn it to the ground, it would not make much difference. Hammond knew that in two separate vaults at InGen headquarters in Palo Alto were dozens of frozen embryos. It would not be a problem to grow them again, on another island, elsewhere in the world. And if there had been problems here, then the next time they would solve those problems. That was how progress occurred, by solving problems. As he thought about it, he concluded that Wu had not really been the man for the job. Wu had obviously been sloppy, too casual with his great undertaking. And Wu had been too preoccupied with the idea of making improvements. Instead of making dinosaurs, he had wanted to improve on them. Hammond suspected darkly that was the reason for the downfall of the park. Wu was the reason.